The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. Tonight I'd like to close our service by bringing just a few thoughts from perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. And perhaps it's not always thought of as a Christmas verse, but I certainly believe you could understand why I would say this is the greatest Christmas verse we could ever study. And tonight, as we think about this particular service, I want you to think with me about the greatest gift, the gift that all of us can receive, and I trust most of us have received. John chapter 3 and verse 16, shall we read it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't you love this verse tonight? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And whenever we give and whenever we serve, then as Christians, it's the fruit of our Savior in us. And we thank the Lord that he taught us that he first gave to us. And so let's pray, and then we'll look at this verse for a few moments. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight that you gave to us. You gave your all for us. And Lord, we pray that your great sacrifice would continue to be a solace and comfort to these that have walked on this platform and been recognized tonight. Thank you for the wonderful grace of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Emerson was once writing on the subject of gifts and giving and receiving gifts. And he wrote these words. He said, the greatest is a portion of thyself. The greatest gift, he said, is a portion of thyself. In other words, if you give to the point of self-sacrifice, he said, now you're getting to the greatest of gifts. But tonight I want to speak to you in these final few moments, not about a gift that's a portion of oneself, but about the greatest gift of all. Because that was the gift when God gave himself for you and for me. Not in part, but in the whole. When I think about John 3:16, I think first and foremost about the greatest love the world has ever known. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. What a supreme and wonderful love. When you think of the fact that this world, that you and I had nothing to offer the Lord, when you think of the fact that the Bible teaches, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when you think of the fact that we were a sinful people and that God gave himself to us, we who could offer him nothing, you begin to put in context the greatest love the world has ever seen. And until we truly understand our own spiritual condition, then we don't really understand how great the love of God really is. We had nothing to offer, but he gave himself. It was a supreme love. It was an unconditional love. For the Bible says that he gave his only begotten Son. Amy Carmichael once said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God has displayed his love for us, not merely with his words, but in the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, thank God that he is the prime mover in our salvation, that before we were ever born, he knew us and he still loved us. You think about many of our relationships and how we say we like or love someone, and then 10 or 20 years into it, sometimes people say, I'm just not so sure, and if I could make the choice all over again, I'm not sure I would. Well, God knew everything, and he still chose to love you and to love me. The greatest love the world has ever known. A pastor in Brazil tells the story of a lady named Maria. Maria lived a downtrodden life. She was in poverty much of her life. Her husband had passed away. She had really one treasure in her life. That was her daughter, Christina. And her life really revolved around Christina. providing for her, getting her to school, doing whatever she could, sacrificing everything she had for Christina. Their home was very modest. They slept on pallets. They had one little wash basin for their clothes, for their food, and everything else. But in time, Christina went through a phase much like many teenagers go through. She became somewhat rebellious. She became somewhat selfish. She was ungrateful for the little things her mom did do and the things her mom did try to provide. Christina began to talk a big talk about going to the city and having things and having more of the world. And she began to ridicule her mother for her simple lifestyle. And soon after that, Christina ran away from home. As Maria began looking for her daughter, she realized that she wasn't at the neighbor's house. She wasn't in the neighborhood. She wasn't anywhere close by to be found. Christina was gone. Maria didn't really know what to do. They lived in a smaller town. She went all over that town looking and trying to find Christina, but it was to no avail. Finally, she saved all the money she could save, and she went to a photograph booth in their little town, and she put some money in the booth, and she took pictures of herself, and out of the little strip came three pictures at a time of herself, and she took the remaining amount of money, and she found her way to Rio de Janeiro. That's where Christina always said she would go someday. And so she took the bus to Rio de Janeiro, and she took those little photos, and on the back of the little photo, she wrote a little note. The little note simply said this: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." Maria went from hotel to hotel, from restaurant to restaurant, from bar to bar, putting the picture of herself all over the mirrors, all over the doors, everywhere she could find a little spot, she put pictures of herself. One night, after a drunken party and after a night of abusiveness and terrible sinful living, Christina stumbled down the stairs of a cheap motel. She got to the bottom of the stairs, her blurry eyes, her mixed up mind, and she saw something that looked familiar. She got a little closer to the mirror and she looked on that mirror past herself. She saw the little picture there and she gazed on that picture. She was a little too out of it to really be able to read the back of it. But the next morning, as she awoke, she found that picture still in her hand. She looked at the picture of her mother. She looked on the back of the picture and she read those words: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." And that's exactly what Christina did. She went home to her mother, and God united them, and they came back faithfully to the church, the pastor said, and served the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to recognize that every time we see that cross, it's God saying to the world, it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. Please come home. That's the greatest love the world has ever known. But I see in this verse not only the greatest love the world has ever known, but I see the greatest gift the world has ever been given. The greatest gift the world has ever been given. You know, we live in a society that oftentimes has become very selfish and cold and indifferent. Many people this year, quite frankly, won't even celebrate Christmas right here in America. They might enjoy the day off, they might enjoy a ball game, but the thought of Christ, the thought even of sharing and giving and being with others, is not really what Christmas means to them. And the fact is that there will be many this Christmas who will go the entire day without giving or receiving. But God, the Bible says, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And think of that if you would. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Jesus Christ took the form of man, and the Bible teaches that He came down to this world as the greatest gift that was ever to be given to mankind. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we know is an equal person of the Trinity, but in one of the titles given to him in Scripture, the Bible speaks of him as the only begotten Son of God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Now, on a human level, to think of giving our sons, to think of giving one of your children for this purpose, just on a human level, is incomprehensible. To think of sacrificing, to think of Abraham raising the knife above Isaac, to think of that faith, to think of that sacrifice. But this gift, God the Father, having for all of eternity fellowship with God the Son, and now willingly sending the Son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, it is the greatest love the world could ever know. And Jesus spoke of it in this way. He said in John 10 and verse number 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now, don't let the term only begotten Son of God cause you to misunderstand who he is. Only God could lay down his own life and take it back up again. Jesus possessed all the attributes of deity, for as the Son of God, he was also God in the flesh. But when you think of the relationship of God the Father and God the Son, you think of how great this gift is because of who Jesus was and because of what Jesus did in offering himself for our sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And so it was the greatest love the world would ever know and the greatest gift the world would ever receive. And finally tonight, the greatest choice that ever is made is the choice of what we'll do with Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of choices we make in this life. There's a lot of choices we'll make in the next few days. But there's no greater choice than the choice that we make when we're presented with the opportunity to receive Christ as our Savior. Look at that verse as we close. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, my friend, we don't have to spend a lot of time debating or worrying about whether or not God knows who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. The fact is, he's God. He knows everything. But the truth is, I don't know who will believe and who will not believe. And I don't know what God knows. I only know this: he loves everybody. And the Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved and will be saved. The greatest choice ever made then is when all of us whosoever's make that decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that whosoever, that means anyone can have this gift. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I remember years ago, our boys were going through a little anti-girl phase. It didn't last long, but I mean, they went through it for a while. And don't you wish they would always think that girls were rotten and made out of whatever? But they, for a little while, went through that phase. And I remember the boys put a sign on their door one year, and it said, "No girls allowed." And then after a while, the girls had one: "No boys allowed." And I remember thinking, I'm glad that's not how God operates heaven. Because I know some people that would say, "No, none of these kinds of people and none of these kinds of people." But God loves every one of us, red, yellow, black, brown, white. We're all precious in his sight. And he says, "Whosoever will may come." How many of you are glad for that tonight? The greatest choice we ever make is to be one of the whosoever's who says, "I will." Whosoever, notice the last phrase, believeth in him. To put our total reliance in him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." Tonight, we've taken a few moments to give really some gifts of love and appreciation and maybe just a little bit of a Merry Christmas spirit to a few wonderful members of our church. But I've got to tell you something. Every one of us who have Jesus in our heart walk out of those doors tonight rich in Christ and blessed in Christ. And tonight, when you think about the faithfulness of these dear members to my right, and when you think about the love of Jesus Christ on the cross, that ought to be enough for you to have the greatest Christmas that you've ever had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, shall we? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, tonight, on this night of giving, we have just paused for a few moments to simply be the church that you've called us to be. And we want to thank you because without your love and without your grace, this would not be a church. We would not have the privilege to be here tonight. I pray in these closing moments that you would speak to our hearts about the great gift that you've given to us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.